From today, I'm starting a message that I've titled The Grace of Our Lord Jesus Christ. The Grace of Our Lord Jesus Christ. It is impossible to live the Christian life without grace or understanding what grace is. Grace is the basis of our walk with God, and without it, we have no relationship with God. God's nature is gracious. He describes himself as gracious. And the grace of God, or his graciousness, is seen throughout the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the God of grace. We see him working through man. But in Christ Jesus, the grace of God comes into fullness. And many of us are familiar with that phrase that people call the grace. And normally we tuck it at the end of a meeting where we say, let's say the grace together, and we all recite the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. And that's true. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fully embodied grace. And I trust that as we learn to walk in the grace of God, we will learn to walk in the fullness of our relationship with God in the New Testament. And so let's start our teaching from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. John chapter 1, verse 14 to 18. This is the witness concerning Jesus Christ. And we read these words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now the verse 17 is very important for our study today. It says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There are three important words there that I want to comment on in relation to that passage. The first word is the word law. Law. For the law was given through Moses. The law there in the passage talks about God's written rules, particularly what he gave to Moses for the children of Israel. The law is God's written rules. It is God's will expressed as standards and a code of conduct and a code of behavior for Israel under the old covenant, God's written rules. The second word you'll find is the word grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth. Grace is God's unmerited reward or God's unmerited favor. That means that God gives us something that we haven't worked for or we don't deserve. The law is God's written rules. Grace, God's unmerited reward. And the third word you find is the word truth. The word truth is God's fulfilled reality. Something that is real, is substance, or something that has come to fulfillment. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So if you look at those three virtues there, law, grace, and truth, one is ascribed to Moses and two are ascribed to Jesus. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's very important. The law did not come through Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth did not come through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law is given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the coming of Jesus introduced something different from the coming of Moses. What Moses gave is not the same as what Jesus gave. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we'll take a quick look at the law, which came through Moses. And if you just run quickly with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 24, we're going to see just a record of the law and how it came and the things that surrounded it. Now, I'm not going to teach exhaustively about the law, but just to illustrate what the law was, because it came through Moses. Exodus chapter 24, verse 1 to 8. And it reads, "Now he said to Moses," that is God, Jehovah, "said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar." That is a statement by itself. Worship from afar. Verse 2, "And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him." So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words." Now, I would assume that you are familiar with the Old Testament, and since I'm not teaching on the law, I'm not going to go too much into it. But when God took Israel out of Egypt, he took them to be a special people to himself. Then they got to a place called Mount Sinai. God called Moses to the mountain and started the process of giving him the laws. In all, there were about 613 regulations that were given to Moses to give to the children of Israel. Moses wrote these 613 regulations and all the ceremonies that go with them into a book. And he brought the writings of what God has spoken to him, wrote them, and came to the children of Israel and read exhaustively all those commandments, the rules, the regulations, the ordinances, ceremonies, everything that God has said. And the people answered and said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then sprinkled blood upon them and he said, "Because you have said so, and God has also written his rules, between you and God, a covenant has been established. And that was when the old covenant came into force. Now, what Moses read to the people is what is called the law. The law has different parts. Normally, the law is separated into three parts. There is the moral code. The moral code is what people normally call the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And then there is the ceremonial code. The ceremonial code has to do with how to worship and how not to worship, how to approach God, burn incense, make an offering, and so on and so forth. And then there is the civic code. The civic code talks about how to plant your corn and how not to plant your corn, what dress to wear, what not to wear, how to grow your beard, how not to grow your beard, how to treat your neighbor, how not to treat your neighbor. That's the civic code. So there is a moral code, Ten Commandments, ceremonial code, ceremonies and how you do them. And then there is a civic code that talks about relationship with people. I hope you understand that. Now there are 613. Moses wrote all of them and came to read to the people, and the people said, all that the Lord has said we'll do. All this 613 is the basis of our relationship with you. Now, these 613 is what the Bible calls the law. The law was given by Moses. I want you to know that carefully. Now, there are a few things about the law. First is that it is established on God's rules. The Bible says Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. In verse 4, he wrote everything. So the law is established on rules. The law is established on rules. So anybody who obeys the law is going to follow a lot of rules. A lot of rules. Secondly, the law is established with sacrifices. It's established with sacrifices. After Moses had written the words, he made sacrifices. He killed some animals to make sacrifices. So you find that in the law, there's prescription for a lot of sacrifices. What animals are clean? What animals are not clean? How to sacrifice them? What to do with the blood? What to do with the intestines? What to do with the fat? How to come before God? What to do? How to burn an incense? How to do a candle stand? All of that. So sacrifices. The law is established on rules. Number two, it's established on sacrifices. Thirdly, the law is established on people's obedience. The people said, all that the law has said, we will do. So the people had to work to get God's approval. The law is based on them doing something, working, being good, being right, in order to be accepted by God. So it's established on people's obedience. Now, later on, when you look into the New Testament, you find that the Bible talks about this obedience as works. Works. Works means that you are making an effort to please God, because they promise all that the law has said, the Lord has said, we will do. Fourthly, the law is established by blood. By blood. Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. So wherever the law is, there will be blood sacrifice. There will be blood. There will be blood. Now, this law, made up of the moral code, Ten Commandments, ceremonial code, sacrifices, ordinances, and the civic code, statutes, and so on and so forth, judgments, all of them come up to become the law. So for Israel, from Mount Sinai, and by the way, even before God wrote the law into words, principles of the law had been in existence before it was written. Abraham was living under the law, and all human beings somehow had obeyed the law one way or the other. But God captured it all properly and gave it to Moses. So the law went on from that time through the whole of the Old Testament, all the people who lived at that time, whether it is David, it's Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, I was going to say Lamentations, but Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and all the people, Habakkuk, Nahum, Jonah, John the Baptist, they all lived under the law, including Jesus himself. Jesus was born under the law. But then he came with something else, not the law. Moses came with law. Jesus was born under the law, but he didn't come with the law. He came with grace and truth. Remember that. Now, I want us to look at what Jesus himself said about the law, which he had come to meet. So what did Jesus say about the law? I'm going to just quote two verses, because I'll go further into this as I progress with the series, but I'm just going to deal with these two verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Jesus spoke this during his sermon on the mount. And then Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Jesus said these after his resurrection. So Jesus said things about the law before he died and after he resurrected. Before he died, he says some things about the law, and after he resurrected, he says some things about the law. Jesus's view on the law is very, very important. All right, so let's read the two views that Jesus expressed about the law. First, what he said on the Sermon on the Mount whilst before he died, at the beginning of his ministry, and at the end of his earthly ministry after his resurrection.